Hello and welcome into the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer in our fancy new chairs. At least two of the three of us enjoying the life of luxury here in the Las Vegas Sun podcast studio. Ray Brewer, as he so often is left off to the side, left out of the group in this. Are you okay? Are you comfortable there? How's your back?
How do you know that my chair isn't as comfortable as yours or luxurious as yours? To me, it's all personal preference.
Well, I've been sitting in a chair that's the exact same as yours for quite a while, and suffering through it, I think, is the most accurate term for it. So I in 30 seconds of being in this chair, I feel like my life has changed. And so I think for the high school podcast that you guys record after this, you're going to have to get in this thing, Ray, and take a ride for yourself, because I think you'll discover that it's much better than the previous existence that you've known.
It'll likely cause me to go to sleep.
That's possible. You're a busy man.
Don't sleep on me.
So we don't want to waste any of your time. Let's get right into it. UNLV, Boise State, as well as the UNLV basketball secret scrimmage at USC. Both of those things occurred slightly overlapping, or not really overlapping. I guess basketball got done right before football kicked off. But let's start with football. Case, you and I were there. 20.5-point favorites were the Boise State Broncos, and for 3.5 quarters, UNLV safely within that number, had it at 7 points. Kind of the key fine, I guess you could call it the key play. There's a lot of different things you can point to, but this is when the back finally broke. It looked like a third down attempt had been ruled incomplete. Boise State was going to have to punt the ball back to UNLV. Instead, review says that he gets the feet inbounds, completion, first down, and Boise State scores a touchdown on the very next play. And after that, the floodgates opened. And it felt inevitable, and this is sort of what I wrote about it in my game story. It didn't always seem like a sure Boise State victory. I never thought UNLV was going to win, but they were hanging around for a lot longer and were doing some of the things necessary. You think of the defense on two of the first three possessions of the second half, forcing punts. A couple of times, the offense behind Blake Decker, which looked just so vastly different than what it had been under Kurt Palahniuk the last 2.5 games. Doing just a lot of things, answering when they could have folded and the game could have gotten away from there. And so they did push it further later into the game than a lot of people expected. But then once it got away from them, it completely did. They end up losing by a lot there. But what were you sort of thinking third quarter, fourth quarter, Case, when it was still a close game and UNLV had been doing a lot of things that at least gave them a chance up to that point?
Yeah, I was kind of in between the two schools of thoughts. On one hand, I think UNLV played pretty well. I didn't come away from this performance, if I was a UNLV fan, all that disappointed. But at the same time, I mean, they're down 7 early in the fourth quarter. And they end up losing 55-27. They probably deserve to cover the 20.5 points, but I just never really felt like they were going to win, even when they were down 7. It just felt like the Boise offense was just moving along. They were just chugging along every time they had the ball. UNLV did some good things to stop them, but I think they just kind of wore UNLV down, and you saw it in the fourth quarter. I think they had 250 yards of offense, and there were a couple points in the game where it seemed like it could have been broken open. The one of the plays I go back to is I think Boise had just taken a 17-3 lead, and McNichols coughed up the ball, and Fred Wilson basically dove on it in the end zone. So when Tony Sanchez and the UNLV coaching staff, as they should, are saying, hey, look, we were right in at the beginning of the fourth quarter. We were only down 7. Yeah, but I felt like the game wasn't really that close, even though it was closer than the final score indicated.
You mentioned the Fred Wilson one. There was also the Eric Noon touchdown where, the end of a good drive, but a mistake, potentially, UNLV fumble that Noon covers in the end zone. So their first two touchdowns were both fumble recoveries.
Right. Well, at least the Noon one, they were right at the goal line, and I just refuse to see anything Noon does positive on the football field is just a result of his talent. And, he's worked hard to get to this point. So that I thought was that I thought was a hard fought and deserved 7 points.
Ray, anything you would like to add about Eric Noon scoring a touchdown for the UNLV Rebels?
I mean, the kid has two great memories from this year. He's a full-time player, obviously, but I think if I remember from the Fremont Cannon painting, he was one of the ones that wheeled the cannon from lead to the student union.
Could have been.
Which for a local kid, I think is pretty cool, despite my constant criticism of the kid for 2 years. And two, I mean, how many times does a hog get a touchdown? He probably hasn't scored since eighth grade when he played Pop Warner and they, you know, let the hogs get in.
Yeah, you sound very happy for him.
Yeah, I mean, all joking aside, really, I was just doing that to get a rise out of Brewer. It didn't really work. I'd say during this game and afterwards when I was writing, I was thinking back to a podcast conversation I think we had right before the season where it was were we more worried about the offensive line or the defense? And I think the offensive line played pretty well in this game. I was surprised. I thought they blocked well. And it's just looking back at that, it seems like the defense is just such a bigger issue right now going forward. I think I'm more concerned with UNLV stopping people than, I mean, it looks like they have the offense. With Decker, they were so much better to watch than with Palandek. I think they're going to be able to put up some points the rest of the year. I just want to see what they're going to do to fix this thing defensively.
I mean, it has kind of shifted that way. But also, and this is what you ended up writing about, Case, because I think it's what you noticed early in the game, and it's been a problem all season, but it's just become more focused coming out of the bye week when people kind of stop and actually look at these numbers. They only have 6 sacks all year, cannot generate any type of a pass rush or just any pressure on the quarterback with only a 4-man rush. And so they, you know, any time they want to get pressure, you got to figure out what type of blitz, and then you're making yourself more vulnerable other places. Like it's always a calculation where at least some teams, you know, if you're above average defenses, occasionally have at least one or two guys can get to the quarterback, can make something happen there, and UNLV just doesn't have that. And you saw that with Rippon, who it's a very big deal in Boise today that he did not get the Mountain West Offensive Player of the Week. They're very upset about it, take it very seriously for some reason. I don't quite get that. But he had a phenomenal game numbers. I think he finished with, it was 469 passing yards, a Mountain West record for freshman quarterbacks. But that defense, the thing that we were so concerned about preseason that looked good for about the first half of the year, that has now become kind of more the concern over these last two games.
And I think anybody who plays against UNLV is in contention for the Mountain West Player of the Week. It's like when we do our high school Player of the Week, it's like, oh, who did, you know, Rancho play this week? Oh, let's pick that kid. Who did Boulder City play against? But you the UNLV defense, and I think,
yeah, like 3 weeks ago you had them in a bowl game, and now you're just like, line anybody up against them, they're going to put up ridiculous
numbers. You're right.
You're
100% right.
You're just so defeated. I'm sad to see it. You're so defeated.
No. You were there for the Reno game, right?
Yeah.
And you couldn't help feeling positive about what was going on. You know, sure, they won a close game with a backup quarterback in rain at the end. It was a good win.
Yeah.
And, you know, they come back the next week. They were in it against San Jose, couldn't pull it out. They come back the following week, in it against Fresno, gave up the lead, right? This week, only down by 7, but as Case said, you never sensed they were going to win the game. I think the problem defensively, I know, the problem defensively is they just don't have enough good players. And when you're out there with 11 guys who you're making serviceable, when you have to go now 12 to 18, because every defense is about 6 extra guys, depending on the coverage packages and the people rushing, those 6 guys probably shouldn't be – they're overwhelmed, to put it nicely. And, you know, just when you got to go to your twos and, you know, the guys that you're mixing in and you don't have quality guys – and I go back to a few comments you're talking about, well, we worried about the offensive line. Credit to UNLV. I think they've done a good job designing plays where the offensive line isn't put directly in harm's way. If you look at a lot of their passes, it's quick 3-step drops, 3-second, not going downfield too much. You know, they've really tried to establish the run, you know, to give them, you know, even more time in pass protection. But, you know, defensively, you got to pressure the quarterback. You know, if a freshman is putting up 460 against you, that says a lot.
Yeah, and in this game, the play calling was a little different because they came out with a plan to throw it around a bunch because they did not think, and it proved correct, that they were going to be able to get much running room, really any, against Boise State. They passed on the first 5 plays. Devontae Boyd had as many catches as he had over the previous 3 games, and that just But it just shows you part of, and like I said, it was a deliberate effort, but it just shows you what you can do and the different element that it brings when you have Blake Decker, who can actually throw the ball. You trust him a little more. Now he finished with two interceptions. One of them was a complete just desperation chuck. The other one was, if I remember right, as they were trying to kind of get things moving. And so that, you know, was maybe more debilitating. But I didn't feel like he hurt them very much. They just didn't have enough firepower from the start. And as Case said early on, they needed a big hand from Boise State with the turnover right at the goal line that they scored on. They recovered their own fumble in the end zone for another score. They made a lot of good plays. Also got, I don't know if you call it lucky or just hitting the exact right spot, but thrown into coverage a lot, and it worked out. You know, Devontae Boyd goes up in between four guys at midfield for an awesome play, and then like three or four plays later, Decker hits Andrew Price on a crossing route kind of in the middle of a couple of guys. Like, he had to put it right in the spot, and they did. And so credit to them that they were able to mount some of those drives, come up with some answers to keep it close, to keep pushing it, but just ran out of steam. Didn't have the bodies and all of that, but I did feel like the UNLV betting side was the correct one, and then somehow Boise State, I mean, they ran for more yards in the fourth quarter than they had in the previous three combined. And so it was a couple of those drives where they were just, you know, pretty content to run out the clock, but UNLV wasn't stopping them. So they got into those big holes and then ran it up. That's how it ended up getting away like that.
Speaking of the betting line, have you seen the Hawaii?
9.5 or 10 for UNLV facing a Hawaii team with an interim coach.
Did you see the other nugget of news that Chow had offered Bobby the DC job?
Yeah, I knew that.
And so Bobby could have been the interim head coach this week. Anyways, just thought. Sorry to interrupt.
It would have been amazing. I didn't think about that part of it, that he could have been the. Would they have handed it to him over the guy that is set up right now with it, you think?
I just think since Bobby has the head coaching experience in the league, they're looking for somebody to close the book on the 10-year. Bobby's real careful. He's not going to get you in trouble.
Man, now I really wish that was happening. I didn't. Man, why'd you have to make me realize that, Burr?
I had no idea. I hadn't heard about that. It was interesting. I think this is the maybe not going back to San Jose State, but definitely Fresno and Boise. This is the third straight week where UNLV has gotten some early action, because the win posted it at 7, which is, I think, what Taylor and I both guessed on Saturday night, or at least I guessed it was someone, and went up to 9.5 within a couple hours. So betting market's still behind the Rebels.
They like Sanchez. What are they ATS now on the year? Pulling
maybe
it up
a little
right
bit
now.
Below 500, if I had to guess, or a little bit above.
I mean, at least according to the final number on Insider, they've lost the last three, so they're 4-4.
4-4.
If you count the Idaho State game, which, you know, you could eventually bet that in town.
Yeah, I'd count that.
Yeah. So 4-4, you know, you got some work to do until you get to Moneymaker Hauk status, who had a 2 or 3 year run there where he was really good at covering at home. But heading into this Hawaii game, I guess, this is the most winnable one left, right? Because even Wyoming, you're bringing in the road, last game of the year, like a few more elements. Here, they generally play well against Hawaii. They've won 3 straight at home. Hawaii just fired its coach. Either going to get the emotional bounce, or, you know, they're just completely dead for the year. But either way, UNLV clearly, you know, laying more than a touchdown. That doesn't happen a whole lot. So clearly the better side. What are you guys expecting?
It's now or never for that 2.5, isn't it?
I mean, it feels like it. Well, that was another thing we talked about post game. It's like, what would you set, just yes, no, right now, what would you set it at that they will eclipse 2.5 wins? So all I have to do is go at least 1-3 down the stretch. And what'd you make? Yes, minus 350?
Yeah, I said 350. I think that's probably right. But, I mean, that crashes if they lose this game. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I totally agree with you. This is the best opportunity. I don't care if they still have Wyoming, who's a little bit worse on the schedule. It's at Wyoming. There's no way they're going to be a 10-point favorite in that spot. I guess maybe if they win 2 of the next 3 or something. But I feel like this is the game. If you're sitting on an over 2.5 win ticket and they lose this game, you're worried, to say the least.
You didn't end up betting it, did you, Brewer?
No, I chickened out. And now I'm pretty freaking happy that I did.
That's right. We were yelling about it earlier because you're never going to get a chance like this on
to
Tony Sanchez again.
Like,
although, you know, what would next year's be?
It's got to be
three and a half
or four, just because considering that they did have two wins at the turn this year and the league's parity and the fact that
I think the non-con's easier.
The dude markets himself. So, I mean, listen, this is not because I love Tony, but the guy's a pioneer in terms of self-promotion.
And I think we're seeing – and where that matters is that I think we're seeing that pay some dividends in recruiting.
It doesn't help getting people to the stadium, though.
Yeah, really.
The only way to get somebody that lives in Las Vegas to show up at Sam Boyd in Scarlet and Gray during – late October, November, is to win.
Yep.
Bottom line, I don't care who's coaching, who the players are, you got to win or nobody's going to be there. Lesson learned.
Yeah, and this is the week where you got to do it. I agree with both of you guys. You know, none of the remaining games, it goes Hawaii at Colorado State, San Diego State at home at Wyoming. None of those are, like, completely unwinnable. But, you know, from what we've seen and, you know, some of the doubts about being able to go on the road – I think Hawaii is by far the one that better get this one, better take care of business. So that's what we're looking forward to this week as Hawaii comes in. God, now, all week I'm just going to think about how this could have been Bobby Houck's revenge game and all the missed storylines. You got me all distracted, Brewer. Other than football, we came in here planning to talk a little basketball. They have the secret scrimmage at USC that occurred Saturday morning. It was a 17-point victory. If we're counting the score that comes out of these things as a victory there, the Rebels played two 20-minute periods, and then they tacked on an additional 12-minute period. Both teams were tied at 84 after the two 20-minute periods, and then UNLV went on a big run there to win in the end. These things, they use pretty much all the available players. Good luck, Okonobo. Was the only eligible player who did not participate for UNLV. He was dealing with some back spasms, expected to be he's just kind of day-to-day. He should be fine. And Caton Reinhart, the former Rebel for USC, he was out with an undisclosed injury. So not what I think at least fans were hoping for, because most of the responses I saw to some of my initial tweets about it were who posterized Caton and how bad did Caton play, and, oh, you remember that kid Caton? I sure hate him. So a lot of venom still exists in the UNLV fan base towards him, but no one got to take that out over the weekend. But the reports, look, this is not – it's not an event that media or most of the public, I'm sure some boosters, are allowed in. But we don't get to really see it. You can't break a lot down. It's mostly, I think, for the teams themselves, just a chance to go up against somebody else, kind of test out some things. The last period oftentimes is used for specific play sets and situations in games that each side would want to work on. But ultimately, I think it's always better to win than to lose. They come out of this with Zim getting a double-double. Derek Jones did very well. Ike Nwamu was pretty good. And so, like, a lot of the – I think Seagears had some good numbers. The guys that they're going to be relying on performed well. They won. As you would expect, it was like a complete foul fest, and turnovers are a problem. Like, that's going to be something that's a big issue for UNLV in the first month for sure, as they figure out just, you know, whether just balancing the trying to play fast and playing under control. Like, that's going to take some time to figure out for specific players as they're always pushing the ball. But we'll see how that plays out. Overall, though, it seems like a positive thing, certainly better than the reports out of last year's event against UCLA. Ray, just what do you take away from this?
Again, I think you hit the nail right there on the head, Taylor. Winning is better than losing. And UNLV is building positive momentum. You know, let me tell you this story. And I know you guys like to listen to my random nonsense, but I knew today we were going to talk about UNLV basketball in the Rebel Room coming in, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to say when they ask me questions about the Rebels? Because I know that I'm labeled as this, like, UNLV homer, glasses always half full is a more positive, or whatever the analogy is. I really have a good feeling about this team, and I know I've said that before and I've been wrong. And I just don't want to be like the guy who cried wolf or whatever, and then when it's finally good, they're like, well, Brewer, you said they're going to be good every year, so it doesn't count. So that's what I'm feeling. So I don't know what to tell you other than I think they're going to be good. I've thought they've going to be good before, and they've turned out not to be good. And I was the only one in town that said Cody Doolin wasn't going to be good.
He's very, very happy with himself.
Celebrate the Cody Doolin call every week. It's a year old now.
Well, I know, but
every season,
everybody's like, oh, you always liked the Rebels. And I'm telling you right now, my keen basketball evaluating skills indicated that he was not athletic, and turned out that he was not athletic.
Yeah, but your skills also indicated or made you mock Taylor and I for saying they weren't a lock for the NCAA tournament.
Why don't you celebrate that one?
Again, I started this whole conversation by, I was driving in, I know I've been wrong before. How do I get Case and Taylor, two people who I like, to agree with me or think that I'm not just repeating what I've said before?
You're not alone. Like, there's a lot of longtime UNLV supporters who, you know, feel like this is the year when it's going to be different, and all these different things. And it's mostly, you know, I think it's just the personnel. You look at the roster and the way that they're trying to play, and you think, okay, this is going to be great. And maybe it will be. It's very possible that it will be. I think it's more likely than not that this is going to be Dave Rice's best team, but there's a lot that goes into figuring that out. And so this, you know, the secret scrimmage is a step towards that. The exhibition game we got coming up Friday at the Thomas and Mack Center against Whittier, that's a step towards that. And then the regular season opener is the week after that at home Friday against Cal Poly. So we're not too far away, but, you know, we're probably not going to get some of the answers that we're looking for until 3 weeks in Maui.
Okay, let me ask you this question. I'm convinced that the regular season finale, and I've said this before, at San Diego State will be for the regular season championship. UNLV plays 18 league games, is it?
Correct.
Okay. I cannot believe where people have them predicted to finish in Mountain West. Of the 18 league games, how many of them are they a betting underdog for? At SDSU, right?
Yeah.
And
sitting here right now, yeah.
And that's, for me, that's the only game.
Probably at Utah State, possibly.
Oh, come on. I don't
depends see on what Colorado State ends up being. And I wouldn't think they would be for that one, but that's certainly possible. Because that's early in conference play. UNLV's record might not be very good at that point. When you stack up, you know, I tweeted this out earlier. So the AP poll came out today. And UNLV has true road games at number 10 and number 12, and that's Wichita State and Arizona, and then potential neutral court games against number 4, 15, and 26, and that's Kansas, Indiana, and Oregon. Oregon's 26 just on the outside there. UCLA, another quality team, that's the one that they know that they'll play in the Maui Invitational. So they may not even have a good record entering league play, and so that could affect betting lines as well. But I'd say at Boise State also, right now I would make them an underdog in that one.
I was actually going to throw out Boise State, but you know me, I always love getting action. If you're giving me right now over 1.5 games they will be an underdog in, other than San Diego State, you want to book that?
Yeah, I'd take the
There's
over.
No doubt. They're going to be some underdogs in these games.
I look at that. Let me counteract you, and then I'm getting on you real fast. All right? I look at the schedule, Taylor, and I'm glad you brought this up. It's a chance to accomplish your goals, to be great. Right? Do you want to be like Boise State and play Idaho and freaking Idaho State and BYU Idaho and right? Do you want to be like you
what,
know?
What point are you making? We all like how they schedule.
No, but I'm just saying that the fact that they're playing so many top 25 teams, say you go 2-4.
Yeah, right? You got to get those two at least.
2-4, I think, is the minimum. I think they're beating Oregon here.
Maybe.
Are they? Did you say Indiana too?
Well, that's a Maui potential. Okay. They'd have to get to the final of that one. That one's the least likely. Okay.
And they're not going to beat KU. No, not because you have a KU sweater on.
And so this is a sweater,
sweatshirt, or a little button up.
It's a jacket,
pull up, whatever, zip up, and not because you went to KU. They're not beating KU. I'm telling you that KU is.
Kansas has plenty of early season problems. Kansas is going to win the Big 12. They're going to lose some non-con games.
Yeah, but you not to UNLV. Don't get my hopes up, please. And this isn't like reverse psychology, like Case Kiefer's fantasy football team's never going to lose. This is the truth.
Oh, you always said that's not reverse psychology, so now the truth comes out. Now, I don't know. I hate that you're kind of making me sound negative because I'm pretty excited about this team, too. I want to see what they can do. I think it could be Dave Rice's best team, but I just feel like you should have learned a lesson from these last couple years to saying something as outlandish as that last game's definitely going to be for the title. I just feel like the Mountain West, and I don't know as much as you guys probably, but it just seems like there's a lot of teams bunched there up at the top that are going to be, at least on paper, one could beat the other, and I'm not going to be surprised. I do not see where you get San Diego State and UNLV bunched together going to be so far at the top.
See, the way I look at it, Taylor and Case, is UNLV on paper, at least the paper I'm looking at and the numbers that I'm looking at and the players that I'm seeing.
I'd love to see the numbers you're looking at. Yes. The numbers don't have I'm not any way do they evidence.
I'm not a numbers guy. I'm more of a feeling guy. You know that. But the only team in the Mountain West who UNLV is not as good as is San Diego State, in my humble opinion. If you're asking for the Ray Brewer poll, it's San Diego State, UNLV, Boise, Colorado State. My humble opinion.
Man, no love for the Aggies.
And I think you take Utah State and Fresno State, and they're going to get wins because teams are going to somehow have to find ways to get to their crappy cities to play them. But if you're telling me right now Utah State is going to be a player in this conference, I'm 100% shocked. They have one player who's good. What's his name?
Well, I think David Collette is the better player, but Jalen Moore is probably the better case for a better player. They have three guys, maybe four, who shot better than 42% on threes last year, and they have the best post player in the league. They returned five starters and a coach who was on Morrill's staff for like a decade.
Taylor, I'm telling you right now, you of all people, Taylor, you don't look at a blank sheet of paper and see a blank sheet of paper. I love your creativity. You look at a blank sheet of paper, and you see all kinds of possibilities. And you're looking at this Utah State team, and
I'm looking at
42%. This, that. They're going to be great again. This Utah. There's anything I'm going to teach you guys about sports. Look at the name on the front of the jersey. Eventually, Ohio State's going to win national football championship. Eventually, the Yankees are going to be good. Eventually, the Lakers are going to be good because it's Ohio State, the Yankees, and the Lakers. Nowhere in that equation is Fresno State and Utah State doing anything.
We live in a world where the last two major champions we've seen are the Golden State Warriors and the Kansas City Royals.
Again,
Gonzaga used to be nothing, too.
Again, anybody could have a good run.
Boise State was 1AA.
Eventually, was Nevada.
That was less
Reno.
Than 20 years ago.
The law of averages, Taylor Byrne, the law of averages is that Ohio State, the Lakers, and the Yankees are going to win. It's eventually going to happen. And now, along the way, the Royals and Pirates will make the playoffs, and we're all cheered. Did you get my text on Saturday, by the way?
About seeing some Nevada gear at Disneyland.
Yeah, I almost vomited. Oh God!
Well, I'll give you pick'em right now for the game at Utah State on January 19th.
Yeah, can I get in on that?
Pick'em both ways.
All right. And that is how we'll wrap up this Rebel Room for Ray Brewer and whatever that rant was for Case Kiefer and the bet and free lunch that he just earned us with that tremendous piece of gambling advice. I am Taylor Byrne, and we'll talk to you guys next week.